taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. I've got an interesting episode to discuss today. We're going to be discussing the concept of freedom of the press, or maybe a better way to look at it would be, what is the state of the press today? I saw a video that absolutely put me on the floor, and I'll discuss that as we go through and we talk about what is the state of the press, a little bit about how we got here, and then probably the most important part, what can we do about it? If you want to find out more about the Constitution Study, the work that we're doing, head over to constitutionstudy.com. That's where you'll find articles, videos, episodes, all material that you can use and you can share, not only to help you read and study the Constitution, but help you to teach your friends, your neighbors, and most importantly, the rising generation to be free. So I was reading through my news feeds and I saw this video pop up, and it showed me in many ways what's wrong with, if not the American people, what has happened with how we treat not just the media, but how we treat information, where we get our information and what we expect from it. We've kind of lost that idea of caveat emptor, the idea that, you know, we should be aware of the information we're consuming, because if it's not true, then, well, we've learned this lie. And one of the things that drives me crazy every election cycle, and I see it more even today, is this idea that celebrities somehow have the ability to tell us how we should live our lives. I found this video. It's from Morgan Freeman, and I'll let you listen here right quick.
I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm not a doctor, but I trust science. And I'm told that for some reason people trust me.
So I want to stop right there for a second, because this is one thing, it's become a pet peeve of mine. Now, Morgan Freeman is an actor, and he's got a wonderful voice. I love his voice, but he's an actor. He plays make-believe for a living. He admits right here in this video that he is not a doctor, but he claims to trust science. But as we'll go through this video, you'll notice he never gives us any scientific data. He doesn't give us infection rates. He doesn't give us effectiveness numbers. He doesn't give us any information about people who may have had adverse effects by the vaccine. We are just supposed to trust him because he has a good voice, because he's on the Penguin videos, or maybe because he played God in the movies. We're just supposed to trust him because of these things. And that, you know, to me, that's treating the American people like they're infants. You can't be trusted with the information. Just trust me because, well, I'm Morgan Freeman. For some reason, people trust him. I don't know why they trust him, but apparently they do.
So here I am to say, I trust science and I got the vaccine. If you trust me, you'll get the vaccine.
So what science has Morgan Freeman used to trust the vaccine? Where did he go? Did he go to the CDC? Did he go to one of the manufacturers? Did he look at any information? Or did somebody simply tell him, you know, well, the right group of people said you should trust the vaccine, so go out and tell people to trust the vaccine? I don't trust Morgan Freeman. Not because I think he's an evil person, not because I don't like his acting. I've seen him in several things. I thought he was a very good actor. I don't trust him because he's asking for blind trust. We're being asked to take people who play make-believe for a living and to trust them simply because they play make-believe for a living. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Now, whether someone decides to get the vaccine or not is a whole other question. My point is, why would you trust Mr. Make-Believe or any actor simply because they said so?
In math, it's called the distributive property. In people, it's called taking care of one another.
Again, no facts, no data, zero science. He's telling us that we should believe the science, but he's giving us zero science. He's stressing emotion. Oh, you should be, and yes, we should care for our fellow neighbors. But that's not a scientific argument. That's an emotional one. That's telling people they should eat their peas because it's good for them or good for their neighbors. It is not how you convince adults that the science, the facts, support getting the vaccine.
Get the vaccine. Help make our world a safe place for us to enjoy ourselves again. Please.
Oh, so we're just going to have this emotional call, tug at the heartstrings, make us a better place again. Do what I'm asking you to do. The fact that I've given you no facts, no evidence, no information that you can use to evaluate the effectiveness of the vaccine, the importance of the vaccine, or the possible risks of taking the vaccine based on you and your medical history. He states right up front he's not a doctor, which is a good thing, because if he was a doctor and he did this, he'd be sued for malpractice. Now again, I have nothing personal against Morgan Freeman. I enjoy watching him as an actor, but this is not information. This is propaganda. This is claiming the mantlehood of science while providing absolutely no science whatsoever. This is an emotional heartstring because for some reason, people listen to actors who play make-believe for a living. Now listen, if you can make millions of dollars playing make-believe, go for it. I have no problem with that. But to expect the American people to trust you because you played God on TV, I'm old enough to remember there used to be a commercial that said, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Well, he doesn't even play a doctor on TV. And we're expected to listen to him. And if you watch this video, if you've heard this before and you thought, you know what, maybe I will take the vaccine because Morgan Freeman said it's a good idea, then you are a sheep. You're being led around by people who play make-believe for a living. Now, I'm hoping if you listen to this program, you have a little more self-understanding, a little more willingness to investigate the facts. Because this is the media being used to manipulate you. This is not an educational, this is not a public service announcement. This is a propaganda announcement. And while this is the one that really caught my attention, I've been collecting these things for a while. I found one, it was absolutely astounding. A New York Times reporter, a Frank Bruni, issued a column. Now, unfortunately, the New York Times column is behind a paywall. If you get New York Times, you can read it. I refuse to pay the New York Times a dime. I would not use the New York Times to line a birdcage. But he makes this point that the people who support gun control should stop using the term gun control because it's politically charged. Not because it's inaccurate, but because it's politically charged. Now, I'm quoting from an article in the Independent Sentinel, and he said, quote, "I'm talking about gun control, a phrase whose day should be done. Its day is done to judge by many prominent Democratic politicians who have rightly recognized the prejudicial aspect of control with its ringing of repression and moved away from it. You don't hear Joe Biden talking about gun control anymore. The same holds for other Democrats urging gun safety, a preferable change, if not a perfect one." Now, what's interesting is They're not complaining that the term gun control is wrong. They're claiming that people hear the term gun control and go, I don't think I want people controlling me. In other words, it's a perfectly accurate statement. Well, actually, it's not a perfectly accurate statement. It's an accurate statement. A more accurate statement would be people control, because nothing these laws do actually control guns. What they do is they're trying to control people. But I've talked about that before. But what we have here is a member of the media advising political operatives on how to better market their message. Tell me, is that what you look for from the media? Marketing information. Now, this is nothing new. This has been going on pretty much since the beginning of our country, beginning of the Republic. Thomas Jefferson wrote, I believe in a letter to John Norval, that, quote, "It is a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could no more completely deprive the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood." Now, think of the last 4 years. Now, if all you did was listen to the mainstream media, you have no clue the falsehood that has been foisted upon you in the name of news. From Russiagate, from supposedly Trump saying that white supremacists are fine people, from the hiding of the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. You have been manipulated. The prostitution to falsehood of the American press is obvious once you take your head out of the bubble of the corporate press. Once you look to something else for information to compare it, to verify that what they're telling you is true. So I repeat, caveat emptor. You are a buyer of information from the news media. Beware. Here's another example. I have family that lives in Florida. And if you, I heard people that have visited Florida. You know what? Florida's doing pretty well. Their COVID rates are low. Their death rates are among the lowest in the country. And since they are actually allowing people to, live as free people, their economy is not suffering. Yet if you look at the news media, many in the corporate media are referring to Florida as a hellscape, as a disaster, how terrible it must be. And what was even worse were follow-up reports trying to figure out why states like Florida, states that have not locked down, states that have lifted their mandates, are not exploding with COVID cases. And this apparently confounds people that look at it and saying, well, how could that be? We've been told by the media that if we lift the mask mandate, everyone's going to die. We've been told by the media that if we don't lock down, shut down, and do everything our overlords in government tell us to do, people are going to die. And if you dare walk around without a mask, you want to kill people. So let's trust but verify. Let's look at some of the examples. For example, a Business Insider lumped in street fights and arrests with massless crowd as a description of the debauchery of people going around without a mask. You know, the claim that Ron DeSantis open for business is backfiring doesn't make sense when you look at what are the actual numbers. You know, Florida home sales are actually up since from 2020 over 2019. They are some of the highest students getting in-person instruction of all the states in the union. Yet you look at their increase in per capita mortality. Now compare Florida, again, in-person instruction, open for business, got rid of the mask mandates, and the Florida increase in deaths from 2019 to 2020 per capita was 14.8% between 2019 and 2020. New York State at the same time, that was 30.1%. One of the most restrictive states has twice an increase per capita in mortality than an open state. The COVID-related deaths, ages 60 and seniors, 65 and older. Remember, Florida has a very elderly population. Their average age is much higher. Yet their average deaths per 100,000 is not only below New York, which has a younger average age, it's below the national average. Yet with all this information, what do we see? We see news media vilifying Governor DeSantis for opening up, claiming that it's a, you know, taking every opportunity appears to claim that, you know, it if you go there, you're going to die. That's not passing along news. That's manipulation. That's propaganda. You know, I've come to the point where if the news media told me that the sky was blue, I would have to go out to double check because I can't trust them anymore. When you do a little research and you find out just how often the news media lies to you. Now, sometimes they're real overt lies. It's like what I was just talking about with Florida and some of the other examples I'm going to bring up a little later today. But remember, I read articles about legislation and about court cases. And there's an old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, don't judge an article by its title. Because the number of times I find a title of a news article be completely misleading. I see this article, it's interesting, I snag it, I start going through it. Sometimes I'll find right in the article where it contradicts itself, it contradicts its own headline. But frequently I'll go back to the legislation, I'll find out it's just not so. For example, now, I saw in this article commenting on a Washington Post editor. Now, the editor claims that Georgia's new election law is almost a verbatim repeat of Jim Crow. Apparently, he was on MSNBC, and he's describing it as a verbatim repeat of Jim Crow. Now, for those of you who don't remember, or for those of you who would like to forget, Jim Crow laws were a nasty set of state legislation specifically designed to disenfranchise, to depress, to restrict black people in those states, to prevent them from using certain drinking fountains, from going to certain places, certain restrooms, certain restaurants, from sitting in the front of the bus. And I'm trying to figure out how legislation that provides more days of early voting, that still allows Dropbox and mail-in voting, all they require is that someone show some proof of who they are. How is that disenfranchising African Americans? And again, quoting from the article, well, I say it is, and I mean, I did grow up under Jim Crow laws, and Jim Crow laws, remember, never said black people couldn't vote because that would have been clearly unconstitutional and illegal and out of bounds. What they were laws on their face applied to everyone, but were designed and enforced to deny voting rights to African Americans. Okay, he has a fact there. It is absolutely true that the rights didn't say blacks couldn't vote. They said, you know, well, they made it difficult. They had literacy tests. They had, they kept moving voting locations. They made it very difficult for poor, uneducated Americans, many of which were black, to vote. Absolutely true. These were created by states. They were enforced by states. But again, what does a Georgia law actually say, right? The what they're pointing at is called voter ID. Now, there's two ways we can look at this. If a voter ID is required, in other words, if you need to present a photo ID to prove that you are you, then, you know, it's an attempt at voter integrity. The idea of making sure that only people who are legitimately allowed to vote can vote and that they only vote once. To call this Jim Crow, to say that is there to kind of sneakily prevent African-Americans from voting, has to assume a certain thing. It has to assume that a significant portion of African-Americans in Georgia do not already own some sort of voter ID. That if they're mail-in voting, they can't figure out what their driver's license number is, or they can't provide a utility bill, or even the last four digits of their Social Security number. That's what the, I mean, if you're telling me that these laws are targeted subtly to prevent African Americans from voting, then that only works if you assume African Americans are too stupid to figure out how to provide some sort of identification. Now, and as I understand it, in Georgia, you've got free identification. Like I said, if all you need is the last four digits of Social Security number, show up with a utility bill. Show up with something that says you are the person that you are, that and you're living there. How hard is that? But you see, again, it's an agenda. It's the corporate media not giving you news, promoting an agenda, manipulating the people to get an outcome they desire. And I go back to Jefferson's quote. The prostitution to falsehood to get an ends that justify the means does as much to deprive us of the blessing to the freedom of the press as if we simply suppressed the press in the first place. You don't need to get rid of the press if the press is lying and manipulating the American people. Now, I personally, I enjoy freedom of the press. I've actually done some research, by the way. Since we're talking about freedom of the press, let me make this point. The word press doesn't mean the news media. Go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Press is the art or business of publishing. It is not simply the news media. Anybody who publishes is the press. I publish on a website. I'm publishing right now in this radio program. That is the press. And that should, you know, Congress can make no law to infringe on that. But what are we to do when you look at the press and you find out that they're lying to you? Now, sometimes they're being a little sneaky, they're being a little biased, but I'm sorry, I've seen too many examples of the press flat out lying to the American people. What do we do when the corporate press is lying to the American people? Some people say you can't do anything. It's the only job protected by the Constitution. No, as I said, press is the art or business of publishing. And just as you cannot use your First Amendment right to deprive someone of their rights, you don't have a right to libel or slander and claim, oh, freedom of speech, I can say whatever I want. Well, that's true of the press as well. If I publish something slanderous, well, I can expect to be sued. And the same should be the case with the media. But once again, we have a problem. This is the problem of the government protecting certain media outlets under this false idea that freedom of the press means news media can do whatever they want. And the only way they can be punished, if you can prove that they were, that they attacked, that not only that they lied about you, but that they did so with malice. They had intention to do you harm. I'm sorry, I thought we had equal protection of the law. If I can be sued for lying about somebody and not have to be, and they don't have to prove that I did so with malice aforethought, why would it be any different for someone in the news media? Isn't that an unequal presence before the law, an unequal protection of the law? So as we head out to a break, let me remind you that America Out Loud Radio Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where you can stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on podcast on those same apps. So hang out through the break, and we will catch you again on the other side.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Every day, we're everyday Americans.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. That's right, we're here to read and study the Constitution at the Constitution Study. And today we are talking about the state of the press. You know, we're very thankful for the freedom of the press, and we're going to talk about what we can do. But we need to be aware of the examples of the news media abusing their position. And I want to take a look at another one. This one happens to be from a well-known program called 60 Minutes. Now, I remember as a kid, my parents watching 60 Minutes. And if you've seen my picture, you know I've been around a while. So has 60 Minutes. And I remember when was it Dan Rather pushed on the CBS News forgeries against President George W. Bush. I mean, these were lies. These were forged documents. And I remember him saying, well, the documents may be false, but the truth is still there. That's about the time I stopped listening to the news media. And I realized they were lying to me. And it's still going on. Now, 60 Minutes has been going after Governor DeSantis, again, of Florida, with what appears to be a made-up vaccine scandal. See, they came up with this narrative. They said, well, you know, in Florida, apparently Publix grocery stores, they have, like many grocery big supermarkets now, they have their own pharmacy. And the state of Florida said having them distribute the vaccines. And then somebody found out that, hey, guess what? Publix made a contribution to, I think it was a PAC for Governor DeSantis. Now, is that worth investigating? Yes. If money was given to a political operative of Governor DeSantis in order for publics to get preferential treatment, that would be a problem, and that absolutely should be investigated. That's really what the news media is there for. However, it appears that 60 Minutes refused to interview people who disputed the false narrative against Republican Governor DeSantis. Even a member of the administration, even a Democratic member of the Florida government who debunked the accusation, but they didn't interview him. At least they didn't put him on TV. They even went so far as to selectively edit Governor DeSantis's response to a question in order to hide the fact that he didn't pick Publix. It was the people who were working on the vaccine said that Publix right now is in the best situation. They are the best prepared, and as other pharmacies come on board, they were focusing on other things. As they come on board, they are able to present this as distribute, I should say, the vaccines as well. So if you listened to just CBS News or just 60 Minutes, you get the impression that Governor DeSantis has corruptly taken money to distribute vaccines through a favored partner, when the evidence is to the contrary. But a lie of omission is still an omission. Meanwhile, at the same time, have you heard much about what's going on in New York State? I think it's up to 8 now ladies who have accused the governor of sexual misconduct in office, of sexual harassment. And even that is a distraction, because we have thousands of people that the governor ordered be housed with infected COVID patients. Thousands of our most vulnerable citizens, at the governor's order, quote-unquote order, were housed with COVID patients. How many people died in New York I don't know what the governor was thinking. I don't even know what information the governor had at the time. I could see logically, they were expecting a run on hospital beds, and they need to make room in hospital beds. So preemptively, to make room in hospital beds, they need to move the sick people somewhere. If you got free beds in nursing homes and elder care centers, well, let's move them there with our most vulnerable. Meanwhile, the Navy hospital ship in New York Harbor goes empty. But is that being covered? Or what about the recall measures against Governor Newsom? I mean, he's gone so far as to say you can't even sing in church. Is that being covered? Is that being shown as anything but lauded as doing everything we can to save American people while destroying the economy, the schools, and even the people themselves, driving them into alcoholism and drug abuse? People who are not going to doctors because they're terrified of being called out for the state lockdown mandates. How many people will lose their lives because relatively simple treatments were postponed because of the orders of these governors? Yet you listen to the news, you watch the news, you read the news, and everyone's picking on Florida Governor DeSantis while paying as little attention as possible to what's going on in New York and California. Now, this isn't a question of politics. I want to make this point. This is a show about the Constitution, and there is Congress can make no law restricting what the news media says. Congress cannot pass a law that says Morgan Freeman can or cannot do his PSA that CBS News has to cover or not cover certain things. They can't. That First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, among other things, abridging the freedom of the speech or the press. But you see, that means it's on the American people. We are responsible for vetting what we hear, what we're told. As I told you, you know, one of my favorite verses of scripture is Acts 17:11, where it says that them being the Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica because they listened to what was said, then went to scripture daily to see if it was so. We've gotten lazy. We've gotten to the point where we simply trust the voices coming out of the boxes. The voices on the, you know, the words on the newspaper or the images on our TV, that we stop thinking critically about what they're saying. We listen to the news that, you know, either it's you know, CBS News on one side, MSNBC on one side, or, you know, Fox News on the other, but we don't stop and say, is what they're telling us accurate? See, freedom of speech doesn't require that they be accurate. They can say whatever they want. But it's up to us, first and foremost, to decide, to verify, to vet what they're saying. Is it true? It's one of the reasons why when I write my articles, I write my books, I put in so many links and notes so that you can go and see, is what I'm saying true? You know, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. We have to trust but verify. And it seems like too many in America they've stopped verifying. And what you end up with, people who make these outrageous quotes and these outrageous statements because they heard it on the news or they read it on the internet or, you know, their favorite podcaster said it. But that doesn't mean that it's true. And while, yeah, there are certain outlets that I might trust more than others, I can't trust them anymore. I can't trust any of them anymore. And to me, that's kind of a sad state of affairs. Because, yes, it means I have to do more work. Okay. But can you imagine going through life and not trusting what people are saying because you've found it to be false so many times? And the problem is these falsehoods get repeated over and over and over again. And it becomes demoralizing. It becomes frustrating to realize that I can't sit down and watch the news and trust what's being said. I can't read my news feeds and trust what's being said. That I have to spend so much time going through and verifying because the people we used to trust to vet that information for us don't. There was apparently a little to-do on the Fox program, The Five, the Fox News program, The Five. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, Juan Williams was on it. And they played a video clip of President Biden, you know, once again comparing the Georgia laws to the new Jim Crow. Something that is not only patently false. Anybody who actually read the legislation or even talk to the Georgia officials about what it actually requires. No, this is not Jim Crow. This is an honest attempt to look at what happened at the 2020 elections and say, we have a problem. How do we fix it? People who complain about making it harder to vote when they're adding days that people can vote. When they're requiring polls to be open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on these voting days. And when all they're really requiring is that someone prove with some reasonable effort, that they are who they say they are, to make sure that their vote is valid, that it's not fraudulently cast. Is that really too much to ask? Is it Jim Crow to make sure that when anyone casts a vote, it's not being canceled out by someone who's voted illegally? And apparently one of the people on the five mentioned how this was hyperbole, and Juan Williams replied, "Well, I agree with you, Pete. I think it's hyperbole." Well, that's nice. It's hyperbole to refer to this as Jim Crow. But then he went on to say how the comparison might actually be accurate. He says, "If you want to say that a group of white citizens want to take control of elections and determine outcomes, want to strip the Secretary of State of power over elections, take, you know, have the arbitrary ability to take over from take power from local election boards, that's what the Georgia legislature, Republican majority, without any black input, just did." Now, I want you to stop and think for just a second. Has Mr. Williams proven any of those allegations? Has he offered any evidence that it was white people trying to take control of elections? That it was white people that want to take power from local election boards, that want to cut the Secretary of State out of power? Was this passed by a Republican majority? Yes. Was there zero black input? I don't know. Does he have any proof? Because I can't trust what he says. Because history has shown that a lot of what comes out of his mouth and other mouths on the five aren't trustworthy. Where's the verification? Where's the due diligence? And why is that so important? Because there are thousands, if not millions, of Americans that are going to listen to what Mr. Williams said and say, "Oh, white people are trying to take over the elections in Georgia." How do I know this? Well, let's see. Major League Baseball, people who play ball for a living, people who play games for a living, have repeated this over and over and over again. Again, this Jim Crow idea, this suppression of the black vote idea, without any evidence. They are repeating what's been told to them through the news media, and in doing so have harmed unknown countless black businesses in Atlanta by pulling the All-Star Game out of, like I said, I think 51% black Georgia, and sending it to Colorado. In other words, taking business, estimated $100 million of the business out of Atlanta. Think of all the black-owned and black-operated businesses that have lost business thanks to this move, and they sent it to Colorado, which I believe is about 9% black. And oh, by the way, Colorado, which already has a voter ID law. And again, it's not just the election. And it's not just, quote-unquote, gun control laws. And it's not just the last election. You have reporters standing in front of burning buildings claiming that it's a mostly peaceful protest. You have news media talking about the mostly peaceful protests that, and then reporting on the vandalism and destruction. And you have people that are making their decisions based on that. You have Delta Airlines and American Airlines both complaining about their home states actually enacting election laws in an attempt to make sure the election is fair. And I wonder how much of it is because, well, that's what the news media is pushing. So the question comes back to, what can we do? What can everyday Americans do in the face of this onslaught? Well, It's the answer is simple, although it's not necessarily easy. As I said, I gather news from lots of different sources, and I use it to help put this show together. And the one thing I do is whenever I look at a news article, before I put it on the air, I do a little bit of basic research. The article, you know, the headline may say one thing. I got to go see if the article actually says what the headline says. And if the article is referring to legislation or a speech or a court opinion, I go to see what it says. Because you have to, again, trust but verify. If you have your favorite news sources, that's fine. Vet what they're saying. I know it's a pain. It'd be much easier to just sit there passively and suck in all that information. But if what you're sucking in isn't pure, what are you consuming? My answer is not to shut up people I disagree with. My answer is not even to shut up people who I can prove have been lying to us. My answer is to first take responsibility for what information I'm consuming and what information I'm then using. You know, there's an old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's really getting to the point now, if you fool me 10,000 times, I'm probably an American voter. Because we have been lied to and manipulated for decades, and we just never seem to learn. So the first thing to do is, again, vet your information. I don't care where it comes from. Vet what I tell you. Take my articles, vet those as well. You should not trust everything that I say. Hopefully, I will earn your trust that you'll trust me, but you'll still verify what I'm saying. So that's the first step. Be responsible for the information you take in and the decisions you make from it. Second, if you cannot trust someone, if you cannot trust a person or an organization to give you accurate information, to provide you news rather than opinion, or in some cases even propaganda, if you can't trust, if the news that's supposedly all the news that's fit to print isn't all the news and much of it isn't fit to print, why do you support them? As I said, one of the articles I wanted to read was up on the New York Times. I refuse to give the New York Times any money because they've lied to me more than one too many times. I look at other businesses and I say, can I trust you that the information you're providing is accurate? And although we may do this with, you know, a car dealership or a repair shop, we may do it with other services, for some reason, we tend not to vet the news media. We still think of them as news rather than media, or probably more accurately, entertainment. So I agree. Constitutionally, Congress should make no law restricting the freedom of press. They should be, it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to vet what they're saying. And for those who are being slandered and defamed, they should have the opportunity for a redress of that grievance. And that redress is being lost because courts are giving so much deference to the news media that they are trampling over the rights of the American people. If the news media lies about someone, it should not take an extra special level of proof in order for there to be a redress of that grievance. You know, there's an old saying, don't argue with people who buy ink in barrels. And there's some logic to that, right? They can certainly out-promote you. They can outspend you. But that's why we have government, to protect our rights. And when our rights are being violated by news media that's lying and attacking and maligning people falsely, They need to have a redress of that grievance, and that's what government is there for. That's why the First Amendment protects our right. It says Congress cannot prevent you from going to government for redress of your grievance. The problem is, it's not Congress that's done this, it's the courts. So what do we do? Well, remember that the courts, while an independent branch, are overseen, the federal courts at least, by the U.S. Congress. See, every federal court except the Supreme Court is actually a creation of Congress. Congress created all the inferior courts, determined what size they are, even determines what their jurisdiction is, with certain exceptions that are listed in the Constitution. So why is your representative letting judges unequally apply the law if it involves the news media? Now, I don't know why a judge would do this. I could come up with some ideas. I don't try not to get into people's heads. But as we're looking at reality, we need to start recognizing that if our representatives won't protect our rights for us, first, we have to protect our rights. And second, we have to find better representatives, ones that will protect our rights. And that's part of what I try to do here at the Constitution Study, is to help people understand the Constitution, the way the government works, and their rights so that they can defend them. Now, I promised when I first started this program, I'd give a little bit of more background about the Constitution Study and where we came from. And there's been so much to cover, I haven't had much chance. But the last time I discussed this, I had left you at the start of my first Constitution Study. This was 2014, and we'd started a study in our small town library, and it was great. We had about 12 to 15 people show up. Every other week, we got together, and that's what we did. We read, and we studied the Constitution, and this went on for about 9 months. 9 months, we went through the entire Constitution, all 7 articles, all 27 amendments, and we had a great time, but I had to leave. See, I couldn't handle living in the empire anymore. One of the beauties of our republic is we have 50 sovereign states. And I was tired of living in a state that treated me like a serf, like a servant. And I moved to a state that didn't, at least not so much. So when I got here and I moved to this area of Tennessee, I didn't know people like I did before. And I could not get another Constitution Study group started. There just weren't enough people that seemed interested in it. Then one day, I got laid off. Now, if any of you have ever been laid off, you know, it's a kind of a traumatic experience. You know, it's not a lot of fun. But I took it as an opportunity. So I had started peddling this idea. I started going through this idea that, well, if I can't hold a Constitution Study, maybe I'll write a book. So I started laying out a book on the Constitution. I called it the Constitution Study. How do we read and study the Constitution? Let's go through and do it. That, by the way, that took about 2 years. It took about 2 years for me to write that book. But it was the start of what I do now. See, as I was writing the book, I said, I probably should have a website. So I set up a website. And I said, you know what? I listen to all these podcasts. Maybe I should have a podcast too. So I started a podcast. And then some people said, hey, you know, Paul, it'd be really great if you did some videos. I did some videos. And the book came out, and I started trying to sell the book. It's not easy. If you've ever written a book, you know, the first one's really tough getting things started. And I started speaking at different conferences and events and selling my books and you know, encouraging people to simply read and study the Constitution. And then the America Out Loud Network came to me and said, hey, Paul, would you be interested in doing a talk show? 5 days a week, talking to people about the Constitution, about reading, about studying, about looking at the world, and how do we apply the Constitution in our lives today. And that's where this show ended up. That's what this show came from. It came from a passion I have to not only understand the supreme law of the land, but to help other people understand it as well. And not simply so we can say that, yeah, we read the Constitution, so we can learn how to apply it. Because I have a daughter. And my daughter is inheriting a country that is not as free as the one I inherited from my parents. And that's partially my fault. My generation has allowed the sacred light of liberty that George Washington mentioned in his first inaugural to gutter and to dim. And whether I'm effective or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, it is my duty. It is my sacred duty to give what I can to help retain freedom and liberty in America. And to do that by educating people, by showing people the truth about the Constitution, the truth about their rights, their truth about government and its limited role. To expose the emperor that has no clothes so that the people can open their eyes and see. So that hopefully the day that I pass the torch of liberty to my daughter, the country will be a little more free than it is today. And if that's important to you, if you're concerned for your children's future, if you're concerned for the blessings of liberty, then I hope you'll continue to join me, that you'll continue to read and study and learn, that you'll be engaged in what we're doing. And hopefully you've found value enough that you will come back and join me at the Constitution Study. And you can find this show and more on the America Out Loud Network. Get the app for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on the website. Check out the shows and schedule. And if you can't listen to me live, you can listen to me on podcast. So I hope you will join me right here next time on the Constitution Study.